giving all praises to God, to our officers and members, to our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryan, to Deacon Harrison, to our deacons, trustees, to all our guests, family, and friends. What a blessing today. Amen. To be in the house of the Lord one more time. We come, it's an interesting Sunday. We're grateful for all that we have done toward our sesquicentennial, all of the celebrations and all of the learning of our history. But then we realize that we have to move on. Amen. Part of the theme of the sesquicentennial was a faithful foundation, celebrating the past. And what a beautiful job we did of celebrating the past. But the theme continues and says, and, amen, it says, and building for the future. And so today marks the first day that we start on that and. Amen. Today is the first day that we stop looking in the rearview mirror and have to start looking at life through the windshield, what's ahead and what's before us. But we are truly grateful what the Lord has done. And because we know what he has done, we can trust him right now. We can trust him in the present. And as Ms. Abby informed us, it is God who holds the future. And so we're excited for this month and for the life and the start at Ebenezer. And this morning, we want to look at a traditional benediction. It's found in the epistle of Jude. Jude, and we would like to read verses 24 and 25. Verses 24 and 25. If you have an actual Bible, it's the next to the last book. So it's right before Revelations. If you're looking at Genesis or Chronicles, you'll never find it. Go to Revelation and work your way back. If you have a book. Jude verses 24 and 25. By the inspiration of God, these words are recorded. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. And let us all say amen. We read into your hearing Jude verses 24 and 25. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. This morning we would like to use as a subject able to keep, able to keep. This month we've been doing a series on God is able. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask. That God is able to accomplish all that we can even imagine. Whatever we can think up, God has already got the blueprints. He already got the resources. He already got the technical skill. Whatever you can come up with, we need you to know that God is able to bring it to pass. Now, I know many of us in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of pain, we all experience it. As we live long enough, death will come knocking on a loved one's door. If you live faithful enough, your family will grow. If you continue to live in this life, trouble will find you. And many of us, we struggle with God's abilities versus God's activities. We struggle because if we know that God is able, then why do we go through what we go through? Why don't he just prevent every heartache? Why don't he just stop every pain? But we learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that God is able even when he don't. I wish I had somebody right here. See, God is able to deliver us from, but if he didn't let us get to it, he wouldn't show us that he can deliver it from it. If God didn't allow us to get sick, then you wouldn't know that God is a healer. If you never found yourself in a conflict, then you don't know that God is a peacemaker. If you ain't never had to throw up your hand, lay flat on your face and say, Lord, I do not know what to do next. I don't know what to do tomorrow. I don't know who to call. I don't know what errand to run. Lord, I don't know what to do. If you ain't never been in that place, then you don't know that God is able to make a way out of no way. If you never experienced any trouble, then you would know that God can deliver you from it. If you didn't go have a test, you didn't know that God can turn your test into a testimony. So we learn from the Hebrew boys that even when God doesn't own our time, that does not stop God from being able. God is able. And so today, as we find ourselves at a crossroads, end of one road at the beginning of a new road, we can stand here and boldly declare that our God is able. This morning, I want to share with you a letter. A letter from Jude. It's a little letter, and I hope that after this morning session, I only have time to deal with really two of the verses, but I hope you'll take time to read it for yourself. You can probably read it at a red light. No. If that's short, just 25 verses, you may be able to read it while you stand in line at the Liberation Luncheon. I'm just saying, you just need a couple of minutes. Take out the time and read the book of Jude. Well, first of all, who is Jude? Who is Jude and why should we read his book? Well, he tells us in his letter that he is a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Jude is somewhat humble. He's a humble fella. He says he's the servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, but James was the brother of Jesus, which made Jude also the brother of Jesus. Jude is Jesus' baby brother. He is the son of Mary and Joseph. His real name, now get this, his real name is Judas. But there was this fellow that was named Judas that ruined the name. It was a solid name. It was a name after the ancient land of Judah. To name your boy Judas, it was a common name. In fact, there was two Judas on Jesus' disciples. His baby brother was named Judas, but once the Judas betrayed Jesus, all of them started changing their name. And now his name is Jude, half-brother of Jesus, brother of James, but yet he's claimed to fame. It's not in his title, not in his family heritage. His claim to fame is a servant of Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, when we all wear that title, when we all forget about all these other titles, and all we're concerned about is the title of a servant of Jesus Christ. That's the one he's going to say, well done. Amen. All those other titles, he may not, but he says, servant, well done. The theme for Black History Month this month is African Americans and labor. To look at the African American contribution to the industry, to work. And here at the church, we recognize labor. We recognize, because Jesus says the harvest is ripe. But the laborers, the few, we pray unto the God of the harvest that he send more laborers. We stand in the need of people who are willing to serve the Lord, willing to put aside their own personal agendas, willing to put aside their own itinerary and pick up the itinerary of Jesus, a servant of Jesus. Well, that's who Jude is. But why did Jude write this quick little letter? It's almost as if Jude was on TikTok and he was just flipping through. It's almost as if Jude was on Facebook and he was just scrolling through all of the images. It's almost as if Jude was in our house watching cable TV with us. He wants to say, congratulations, well done, you're doing a beautiful job. But then Jude says in verse 3, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith. What Jude said, I wanted to write something nice and lofty, and we could talk about the goodness of God and all that he done for me. We could sit around and talk about the blessings. We could sit around and talk about heaven when we all get home. But Jude says somebody got to contend for the faith. That word is a athletic term. It talks about a competition and competing. He says, somebody got to contend for the faith. Listen, the government ain't going to be promoting Jesus. The church got to promote Jesus. The education system is not going to promote Jesus. The church got to promote Jesus. The entertainment industry, they not going to promote. It is the church's responsibility to contend for the faith. So many church people are waiting on the world to get saved so they can get saved. Have you heard people like that? So when you talk about salvation, first thing they want to point out is a problem. I said, well, the problem going to be there if you saved or not saved. I was watching on some show, I'm going to tell you my viewing habits. But I came across a little video of a guy. He's always at a schoolyard and people ask him questions, random questions. And this one young lady, she said, began to ask him random questions about the suffering of innocent animals in the wild, that she couldn't accept Jesus because of animal suffering in the wild. And I was like, well, not believing in Jesus ain't saving them. You not believing in Jesus not doing anything for suffering animals in the wild. I said, but there are Christian organizations that because they love the Lord, they are now doing things in the wild to help animals. Because they see the animals as God's creation. Why? Because they first came in contact with Jesus. You're looking at the problem rather than looking at the solution. Jesus is the answer. We look around. We look around. We have to contend for the faith. We have to tell people that love ye one another. I know. We got to be the ones to tell other people, turn the other cheek. We got to be the ones that let people know that in the end, there's only abide three things. It ain't going to be your wealth. It ain't going to be your education. It ain't going to be your knowledge. There's only three things that abide: faith, hope, love. These three are eternal. But the greatest of these is not wealth, is not power, is not influence. The greatest of these is love. We're still in a hateful time, in a hateful generation, in a mean age. We still have to contend for the faith that love is better. I'd rather be a victim than a victimizer. I'd rather be a victim than a villain. I'd rather be a pawn on God's side than be a rook on the wrong side. Used by God. And we are the ones who are to contend for the faith. We have to be the one to let our little light shine. We got to be the one to let people know that this is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I know what you're thinking now. That's impossible. Yes, it is impossible for us. That's why he sent forth another comforter. That's why on the day of Pentecost, when they was in one place on one accord, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then they were fused with power. See, the church has Holy Ghost power. We got eternal power. We got divine power working within us. We are. And so Jude is writing. He's writing to us a personal letter. It's in your inbox. It's in your inbox if you just check. It's in your text messages. He's writing to us. Jude knew that there was a time when men will become lovers of themselves more than others. Jude talks about ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God and use it as a license for immorality. They think that because God forgive everything, they can do everything. But you keep throwing rocks in the pond, there's going to be a ripple effect. There's going to be consequences to your actions. Yes, there is forgiveness, but there's still consequences. And you're going to have to deal with those consequences on this side. Jude wanted to remind you and I that we have to contend in these evil times. Then he says in verse 17, a call to persevere. He says, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus foretold. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desire. Doesn't that sound like some 2025 stuff? That sounds like something that just happened this week. Scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have what we have. They do not have the Spirit. This is what Jude is writing to. This is the people, the time, just like today. And he reminds them, but dear friends, I like this in verse 20. That's what they're up to. But dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith. What is Jude saying? Jude said, get to know the book for yourself. You ain't going to be able to learn the Bible on TikTok 5 seconds at a time. You ain't gonna be able to learn the Bible on Facebook one post at a time. You know, I can't stand people posting verse 33 and don't give me the context. Cause every time I see it, I gotta go read that whole chapter to find out why they wrong. I'm like, man, it don't even mean that if you read the whole chapter. But that's how we look at life, these one little bits at a time. But he said, we have to build yourself up. Come to see them. Come to Bible study. Read the Bible for yourself. Pray over the Bible as you read. Set aside a time in your day, in your week, in which you build yourself up. That you have the knowledge that you need in this time. But then he also said, and praying in the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things I love about Ebenezer. It's a praying church. Amen. You got to learn how to cast your cares upon the Lord. They don't get lighter as you get older. They get heavier and heavier. You know, I remember just worrying about my daughters. Now I got to worry about my grandsons. I remember praying my foe with no more. Now all of a sudden my foe is expanding. I'm like, oh, but we have to keep praying. Take our prayers to the Lord. Take our needs to the Lord in prayer. Take our troubles to the Lord. Our understanding, what we can't figure out, take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, there have been times when I prayed over problems, and when I got off my knees, my problems were still sitting right there. I prayed over a bill one time. It was an electric bill. I skipped a couple of months in the summer. I had a plan. It didn't. I had a plan. It didn't quite work out. It was a couple of more 100-degree days. I didn't plan for them. And they came looking for their money. And I decided to pray about it. I prayed. And when I got through praying, that bill was still sitting there. But I felt much better about it, though. I didn't feel like God was mad at me. I called him up, and he said, call him up. I called him up and gave him, set up a plan with him. Okay. You know, I remember one time my mom used to get on me when I was in college. I would call home. And, you know, $100 here, $100 there. And my mom was like, you going to church? And I was like, I'm just asking for $100, mama. I don't need you in my business. I mean, we're just talking to Bill. Come on, just send me $100. Or get daddy on the phone. One of the, you going to church? I was like, ah. So the next week, I decided I ain't going to call her since I ain't been to church and I didn't want her to ask me. I decided to go to the register's office. I said, I don't know. I was just there. I shouldn't have had a bill, you know. But when I go to the register's office, they had a check for me. And it was more than $100. And I went and cashed that check so fast, I didn't even know. And that Sunday, I called my mom. I went to church, prayed the Lord, paid tithe, gave the Lord some of it. That night I called home. I was quick to call home. I was wanted to talk to mama. Mama, I went to church this Sunday, and you can keep that $100 too, because Lord made a way. When we take it to the Lord in prayer, God has infinite solutions to your problems. Your best solution, your best answer, the best thing you can come up, the best plan, God got trillions of those at his disposal. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Then in verse 21, he says, keeping yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternity. You have to keep yourself from some trouble. You can't go looking for trouble. You got to learn how to walk away. You got to learn how, you know, I had a coach back in the day. He said, Robinson, the only people that fight with fools is fools. So you want to get out of a fool's fight, don't get in a fool's fight. Stay out of fighting with fools, because only nobody fight with fools but fools. And that was the best advice I ever received. I ain't never got in no fight with no fool. I watched a lot of fools fight. And I said, the only thing they do is bigger fool. And I stayed out of that fool ring with fight, because the only people that fight with a fool is a fool. But we got to stay in the love. And it's difficult sometimes. You're not always going to win the trophy at work because you pray every day at your desk. You might not win the employee of the month when you're trying to be faithful to the Lord and read your Bible. But what will happen is when trouble comes, they will come looking for you. I was skipped over a couple of promotions. I wasn't mad at them. I had my own personal stuff I was working on. But then when 9/11 hit, they all come looking for the preacher. They didn't care nothing about my work ethic. Didn't care nothing about how much I've been producing, how much time I was using reading Sunday school material rather than doing their work. They didn't have no time. All they wanted me to find out was, thus says the Lord. If you live right, continue to live for the Lord, when trouble comes, you don't have to go looking for them. They will come looking for you. I'm asking you to pray for them. Will you pray for me? Will you call out my name? That's why we got to live this life. Keep yourselves in God's love. And then Jude simply ends this doxology. Probably the most familiar in the African-American church tradition. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling. In King James, it says to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you. And even though we have to travel down the same terrain as those who do not believe, we got to walk down the same roadways with the same cobblestones, with the same hazards, with the same problem, with the same mishap, the same road condition. We travel down the same road. But the difference is we have a God that's able to keep you from stumbling. Now that got me to thinking, if he's able to keep Peter from drowning when he was walking on water, surely he's able to keep us from stumbling when we're just walking around on cobblestones, when we're walking on bricks, when we're walking on asphalt. Surely he's able to keep you from falling. And that word keep is a military term. It's to stay on guard. It's to stay on post, to always keep an eye out, to always be on the lookout. God is always on the lookout for you. Don't you know that any trouble that you're in, God had to sign the permission slip? That Satan can't come into your life unless God permits it? That God allows it? And you say, why did God allow this in my life? Because God knows something greater for you. He's able to keep you when you feel like falling, when you fall away from the faith, when people try to challenge your faith, when people try to challenge your belief, when people try to challenge what you hold dear, he's able to keep you from stumbling. He's staying guard, watching over you. Not only is he able to keep you, I like this last, he says he's able to present you. He's able to show you off. He wants to be there to walk you down the aisle. He want to be there to open the door and let you in. He want to be there to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. He want to present you without blemish, without fault, without all our isms, with all our hang-ups, with all our problems, with all our stuff that's stuck in us, all the stuff we're still trying to work out, he let us know that he's able to present us. Many of us, we know if we live the best we could, we still can't just walk into heaven. If we did all we could, if you stayed in this church until Jesus came home, you still won't be able to just walk into heaven. He has to present us. And he has to present us without blemish. And so this is all Jude is saying. In this day, in this time, with the challenges that before us, with the road that is ahead of us, with all of the problems that are going to come against us, he says, even now, we're able to give it over to him. We're able to give it over to the Lord. We're able to cast our cares upon him. And so this day, I simply want to give you this little doxology found in the book of Jude, right before you get to the book of Revelation. This doxology simply says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and for generations to come. Amen. May God bless you and keep you. At this time, we want to extend the invitation as our ushers and deacons and greeters come. We want you to know that this is an opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Will you come? To extend, it was yours to accept. May God bless you and keep you today.